From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his fourth message in a series dealing with the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The second person mentioned in this chapter is Enoch. In the midst of ungodliness and apostasy, Enoch represented the apex of the godly line, providing a rich example for believers in every age. It's recorded that he pleased God. This was apparent in his walk and in his witness. Then Enoch's faith was operative in his translation. It is apparent that he was looking for that translation, and so he lived with his eyes on the invisible rather than on that which the eyes of flesh alone can see. In addition, Enoch's faith was observed even after his translation. The scripture says that he was not found, implying that he was missed by those among whom he had lived. As unpopular as his testimony may have been, those around him took note of his life. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message entitled, Faith That Overcomes Depravity and Death. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. We are come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Listener, have you come to the blood of sprinkling? The question is not whether you have come to a knowledge of doctrine or an observance of ceremonies or to a certain form of experience, but have you come to the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus is the life of all vital godliness. If you have truly come to Jesus, we know how you came. The Holy Spirit sweetly brought you there. You came to the blood of sprinkling with no merits of your own. Guilty, lost, and helpless, you came to take that blood, and that blood alone, as your everlasting hope. You came to the cross of Christ with a trembling and an aching heart. And oh, what a precious sound it was to you to hear the voice of the blood of Jesus. The dropping of his blood is as the music of heaven to penitent sons of earth. We are full of sin, but the Savior bids us lift our eyes to him. And as we gaze upon his streaming wounds, each drop of blood as it falls cries, It is finished. I have made an end of sin. I have brought in everlasting righteousness. O sweet language of the precious blood of Jesus, if you have come to that blood once, you will come to it constantly. Your life will be looking unto Jesus. Your whole conduct will be epitomized in this, To whom coming? Not to whom I have come, but to whom I am always coming. If thou hast ever come to the blood of sprinkling, thou wilt feel thy need of coming to it every day. He who does not desire to wash in that every day has never washed in it at all. The believer ever feels it to be his joy and privilege that there is still a fountain opened. Past experiences are doubtful food for Christians. A present coming to Christ alone can give us joy and comfort. This morning, let us sprinkle our doorpost fresh with blood, and then feast upon the Lamb, assured that the destroying angel must pass us by.
Joy of thy salvation.
Often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost, but down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Enoch's faith laid hold of God, and it longed for His presence. It longed for His glory. We read right at the beginning of this chapter, faith is the substance or the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. Things hoped for, things not seen. Enoch hoped for glory, and his faith believed God for it. He had never seen God. He had never seen heaven. No, that was an unseen world to Enoch, just as it's an unseen world to us. But listen, Enoch lived in the light, and if I could use the word, in the sight of the unseen world, and his faith yearned for it. Now here is great faith. Here is faith that overcomes depravity and death. Letting our grip on the visible go, that we may pursue the invisible. That is victorious faith. People who live by sight grip the visible. So many Christians seem to be living only for the visible. So many Christians, and they're tied in to things. I'm not going to preach some Aramite message and tell you that you can't have things. God has given His people things, all things richly to enjoy. But I want to tell you, when you begin to abuse instead of use the things, when you get a grip on the things, and those things are the key to life, the key to happiness, the key to peace, you're not living by faith. Faith lets go its grip on the visible, abandoning it to God, in order that it might pursue the invisible, for the things which are not seen, they are the things which are eternal. And that's the faith that's going to enable us to live right. You'll not know true consecration unless you can live by that faith. And what's more, it's the faith that's going to enable us to view death. What the world looks on as the ultimate loss. It's going to enable us to view death as a mere translation, a doorway from earth to glory. Enoch's faith was operative in his translation. And the final thing, Enoch's faith was observed after his translation. We read he was not found. Now Genesis simply says he was not, for God took him. But Paul, inspired of God, says he was not found. There was one other man later in Old Testament history who was translated, and that was Elijah. You remember what the sons of the prophets said to Elisha? They said, let's get together a search party and go out and search for his body. Let's look for Elijah. See what's happened to him. Now, of course, Elisha knew they would never find the body of Elijah. He knew where he had gone. He had seen him go. But there was a bunch of so-called prophets in his day who were nothing but rationalists, and they didn't believe in the supernatural power of God. And so they sent out looking for the body of Elijah. And like all rationalists, they were disappointed. Bunch of educated nitwits who couldn't believe God. I'm sure it was just the same in the days of Enoch. He was not found. That tells us very clearly he was looked for. Can you see the search parties out? What has happened to him? But he was gone. He was not only looked for, but he was missed. He was missed. He was not found.
That tells me that though they had not liked him, they had not stood for him or with him, yet they had observed his faith. And now that he was gone, the impact of this man's faith was felt. And of course, even more, the Word of God has recorded that faith for us to follow. In fact, Hebrews 11 and 6 is a divine sermon on a human life. It is God's sermon on the life and faith of Enoch. It's a sermon on the subject of how to live so as to please God. And it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now that's the Holy Ghost's personal sermon to apply the faith of Enoch to you and me. There are 7 points in the Holy Ghost sermon. I think maybe I shouldn't have said that with Mike Barrett listening, for he'll think he has got to have 7 points in every sermon that he preaches hereafter. Should I say, Mike, the Holy Spirit has only 7 points. He doesn't have 7 points with 4,000 under each point. So you and I are in rather trouble. Let's see how the Spirit of God applies this. We have looked at Enoch's faith. Now, observe it and apply it. First of all godly living must be by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. To please God, all that you do, all your godly living, must be by faith. Now, if you're going to live godly in this present evil world, there's going to be a lot of activity. There was a movement in church history called the Quietist Movement. You want nothing to do with that spurious kind of holiness that is quietism. Holiness is active. And there is going to be incessant activity if you walk with God and witness for God. But all your activity must be by faith. What we have come to see around us today is activity for the sake of activity. We have people who are not enjoying faith. They're not enjoying the victory of faith. They're not enjoying the vision of faith. But in order to make up for what they're lacking, they are constantly active. And what happens is that they just get more and more frustrated because it appears that their activity contradicts their experience, and their experience contradicts their activity. Their life contradicts their lips, and they feel in their hearts, I'm a liar and a hypocrite and a fraud. There must be activity, but the activity must be from the spring of faith. In other words, do all that you have to do in the light of the gospel and in the light of what you believe. Isn't this what Paul says? In Galatians 2:20, we are crucified with Christ. Now, when he says, I am crucified, he means, I have been crucified. I was identified with Christ at Calvary. But he says, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, just let me stop off there for a minute. That's supernatural. There's no way that you can reproduce that. There's no way that you can set down a little formula for salvation and say, well, now, you'll work it all. Salvation's of the Lord, and there has to be that mysterious, supernatural action of God regenerating the heart, uniting the soul to Christ, and Christ lives in you. That's a work of grace. People who try to get Christian victory apart from union with Christ are bound to fail. because they haven't got to the root of the matter. The life that I now live in the flesh, he goes on to say, because Christ lives in me, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now what he's saying is, Christ loved me. Christ died for me. He gave himself for me. He rose again from the dead. He has united me to himself. He lives within me. In the eyes of God, I am one with Christ. Now, I am going to live and do all that I have to do in the light of those facts. And that's living by faith. It is bringing what you believe to bear upon the decisions you make. It's bringing what you believe to bear upon the situations you face. The gospel has always something to say about the things that you have to decide. Should I do this? Should I not do this? If it's a matter of moral indifference, then you should simply get the Lord's will. If it's a matter of real moral importance, then you'll find that the gospel will not even leave you to seek the Lord's will. It will simply give you a very clear directive. You don't need the will of God to be revealed any further to find out whether you should thieve and lie or fornicate or whatever. You don't need the will of God to be revealed in those things. It has been revealed. You bring the gospel to bear in those things. What does the gospel of Christ demand for me on those things? What do I believe concerning Christ? What do I believe concerning my union with Christ? And what has that to say about these things? And I'll tell you, that will straighten out an awful lot of problems and an awful lot of decisions, and it will make clear an awful lot of things that are otherwise murky. But what's more than that, this is the all-important thing, it will give you the power, the grace, the ability, and the desire to do the things you ought to do.
There's the difference between living by faith
and simply living by guilt. So many Christians living by guilt. What I ought to do, and I'm going to do it because I ought to do it, and they can't do it. Live by faith. Godly living must always be by faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.